right, back on the Young Turks election coverage. State of New York, John Iadarola, Michael Schur, Cenk Uygur, Jimmy Dore. Good to have you, brother.
Good to be back. Thanks.
All right. Let's jump right into results.
Okay, so we're now, oh my God, we jumped up by like 8%. So we're starting off at the lieutenant governor's race where Jumaane Williams not only caught up, but passed Kathy Hochul.
Yes,
and now
there
has
you
a
go.
5-point lead, expanding each minute. So that's obviously significant there, especially going against an incumbent like that.
You know what, if Jumaane wins, we're one sex scandal away from the new governor being a progressive in New York.
There you go. Now, to the governor, you know, who will go down in a sex scandal? Well, you've got two choices here. Unfortunately, Andrew Cuomo is still up pretty significantly, 66 to 34.
Okay, so,
so she's beating the polling.
And she is closed in every single time that we've looked in, at least officially on air. But, and this is a giant but, 21% is a very real number. It's not the end all be all. And if it was close, I'd say, hey, hey, hold your horses. But with 21% reporting and a 32-point lead, not good news.
I would also
go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I would just add, I've been keeping, you know, as I do the sort of county by county look, and we're getting towards most areas of the city being half tapped out, two-thirds tapped out, and eventually it looks like most of the rest of New York has not started to come in, Buffalo and Syracuse and Albany and all that.
Yeah, the rest of the state is you know, using a wheelbarrow to bring their votes in. So the little
ballot splitting going on too. I mean, you have the governor up 33 points, and Kathy Hochul, his running mate, is down 5. So, I mean,
yeah, that is weird.
That's
a
notable. I mean, it's not like, you know, you're voting for. It's not the same kind of a ticket as Obama, Biden, or Trump, Pence. It's not the same. You can do it there. So it's interesting that they do it actually.
And there's different dynamics in terms of political positions, but not by much. Race, gender, there's a lot of different dynamics, right? But still, it's a giant, giant difference, which is weird.
Big number, right?
Yeah,
it's a big number, unless people just don't vote down ballot, right? Unless enough of them just voted for Cuomo and didn't vote in the lieutenant governor's race.
I think that's much more likely, but we're about to prove if that's the case or not by looking at the numbers again and see how much of a difference there is between the governor and the lieutenant governor race in terms of raw votes. So let's take a look at those.
So exciting. Governor has 326,000, lieutenant governor 294,000. So it looks like 10% off.
No, that's not it.
It's not the difference, but it's still, I mean, 30K off is probably a predictable number. 10K is probably actually a low number if you think about it.
Yeah. Wow, that's so weird. That's really, really interesting. All right, well, let's see how it goes going forward. But I'm in suspense. Zephyr Teachout race, attorney general race.
Zephyr Teachout has inched up, still in second, still a good gap between Letitia James and Zephyr Teachout, though. About 20 points.
She's winning New York City is teach out by 25K over Sean Patrick Maloney, which isn't, you know, notable because they're both losing to Letitia James. But she was polling behind Sean Patrick Maloney in New York City beforehand. So she's outdoing him there. Maybe it'll translate to a bigger part of the state. But now doesn't look great.
So I will say, I mean, this is based off of literally two precincts in other parts of the state, but in the two areas outside of the city, she is currently leading, and that hasn't been coming in. It's each of these counties has one precinct in, so God only knows.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a disappointing result in the attorney general's race too. So let's go, Jumaane Williams.
there's some good news in the state legislature. We're not going to track those constantly,
let's do that right now.
Okay, I'm in need of good news. I have been looking about.
Just read them all.
Okay, just read them. Just read them already. God damn it! All right.
In the state senate, I happen to have been looking at the 13th district with Jessica Ramos, a good progressive, and is up by 10 points over Jose Peralta.
Yesterday, we had people tweeting in hashtag Vamos Ramos.
Yep.
Okay.
That's awesome.
So apparently you have Vamos Ramos. So she's up by 10 right now. That's great news. All right.
Do you want to go through the IDC challengers?
I do. Hold on one second here. So let's set this up. So IDC is the Independent Democrats in New York, or they were. So what is this group? It's a nonsense group created by Andrew Cuomo. He claims he didn't create it. It's a total lie. I'll explain why in a second. He created it so that he could have an excuse
to vote with Republicans. And he could say, oh, well, golly gee, what could I do? The Republicans, well, New York's a very blue state, but their Senate is very mixed. So the Democrats, this independent Democrats, kind of like Joe Lieberman, go and hold all the power because they're the swing votes and they can decide who wins and who doesn't. And some of the times they decide the Democrats are going to win when Andrew Cuomo gives them the green light. And a lot of times they say, oh, well, no, I decided the Republicans are going to win. It's a trick. Now, we said it was a trick from day one. In fact, the group got formed immediately after Cuomo got elected governor. Interesting timing, but the timing gets more interesting. So when Cynthia Nixon challenged Cuomo and that news came out, immediately after that news came out, she's a celebrity, he was a little bit more worried. There's some progressive winds in the country. At the time, there was not as many, but still he was being careful. And voila, he had lunch, this is reported, no one's denying it, with the independent Democrats and said, you're now done, son, you're gone, your group doesn't exist anymore.
Particularly Jeff Klein, the one, the senator from the state senator from the Bronx, and he was the one who, you know, who spearheaded it to begin with the governor's presumed approval. So it wasn't, you know, there's still argument over whether it was Cuomo's idea sitting up in Albany to do it, or Jeff Klein and some of the others were so tired of the way it was going that at least to be able to move their caucus over would have been something they wanted to do. But the governor didn't stop them or fight them, as any Democratic governor would do. He just allowed it to go on.
So look, I got no love for Jeff Klein. You want to blame Jeff Klein too? Have at it, Hoss. Okay. But is Cuomo responsible? Absolutely. No question. It got formed right after he got elected. It got disbanded the minute he literally disbanded it himself when Cynthia Nixon entered the race. He stopped bothering to have a pretense. He got them in a room and said, "You are finished." He was obviously in charge the whole time, and it is like the prototypical corporate establishment Democrat move. So, like, because at a federal level. Well, Republicans win all the time, and so they control the House or they control the Senate or both. So a Democratic president could go, oh, there was nothing I could do. But in the case when the Republicans don't have power, you gotta find an excuse. And they're almost always called independent Democrats. Not independent Democrats like Bernie Sanders that are actually to the left and more progressive. Those are the ones that corporate Democrats tell you, oh, they're not real Democrats. They're not real Democrats, they're progressives. Because in their mind, a real Democrat's a sellout. It's a corporate shill. So what did Obama do? We could have pushed for single payer, decided not to push for single payer. Could have had public options, so at least we have an option for to not use private health insurance. And he had a super majority. He had 60 Democrats in the House. He had in the Senate. He had the House. He had everything he needed. Here comes independent Democrat Joe Lieberman to the rescue. And Joe Lieberman said, I'm not for a public option, I'll vote with the Republicans. So Obama's like, oh, thank you, I really appreciate it. Joe Lieberman, by the way, his mentor in the Senate. And they had a good, nice little handshake. And they said, we'll pretend to progressives that I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it because of you, Joe. Isn't that funny? That's really funny. So they didn't do the public option. And even though they had every opportunity in the world, they set up a system where private insurance was still in charge. And by the way, look at it now. Prices are still sky high, and then progressives get blamed for it. So now in the state of New York, you go there, anytime corruption needed to be blocked, I said, God damn, there's nothing we could do, man. The independent Democrats, golly gee. Anytime any progressive thing needed to happen. Now, did some progressive actions happen in the course of all this time with Cuomo? Yes, they did. We're fair. So gay rights got advanced in the state of New York. That's wonderful. By the way, they did it through corruption. They bribed four Republicans to flip over, but I'll take it. I mean, I'll take advancement. I don't want it to come through corruption, okay? But at least it was something positive, and that happened. But it's easy to be progressive on social issues. But when you get to corporate issues and money, that's where you need the independent Democrats to constantly vote with the Republicans so that the corrupt Andrew Cuomos of the world can go, golly gee, there's nothing I could do. It turns out Cynthia Nixon enters the race. It was something he could have done all along. He could have that lunch anytime he wanted and disbanded them. So Cuomo's winning tonight and likely will win.
We have a call, actually.
In fact, here you go, right in the middle of our live coverage.
It has been called for Andrew Cuomo.
Yes, and he had too big a lead from the get-go. So Andrew Cuomo, the winner in New York.
Can I mention one thing on that?
Yes.
Just because it's in our election notes. In the final 3 weeks of the campaign, he spent $8.5 million compared to Nixon's $450,000.
That's absurd.
20 times as much money, I believe.
Well, that's exactly why Andrew Cuomo likes corruption. Corruption isn't the problem for him, it's the solution. So now, what do we have left as we're covering this election live? And anytime we're doing election nights, guys, don't miss it. If there's ever an election, tyt.com/live. There's going to be a giant one on November 6th. Ted Cruz, Andrew Gillum versus DeSantis, 26 Justice Democrats, etc. Don't miss it. Okay. Now we're going to track this tonight for you guys. How the IDC in New York, those are the so-called independent Democrats, how they are doing tonight. What I'm rooting for big time, and which is entirely possible, is that they all lose and are sent home and never soil the earth of New York State again, okay? They are the worst of the worst. They are wolf in sheep's clothing. They are corporate shills who pretend to be on your side and then screw you over every single time. So now, having said that, let's check in on their races and see how they're doing.
So far, that is some of the good news. And although it looks like he will be maintaining his position in the governor's mansion, he might find that some of the people who are helping him to achieve his goals in the underhanded way are suddenly replaced by the people who are going to be holding him the most accountable. We're not done with these races just yet, but if we start off, there's been a number of challenges to former IDC members. They still have their goals. Zelnor Miri running against Jesse Hamilton. Zelnor Miri currently up by 12 points.
Nice.
Working Families Party candidate.
What about John
Liu? Excellent.
John Liu is the next one, and all of my time. Okay, John Liu is currently up. Oh, is he? Okay. Well, he is up by 2 points over Tony Avella right now.
What percentage reporting? What percentage of
on these races? I don't know. Probably
don't know.
Similar, but I don't know.
Okay, so in the governor's race, it was in the 20s.
Yes.
So. These races, especially the close ones, if they're in the 20s, 30s now, that means that it could go either way. If you're up or you're down by 4 points with only 30% reporting, it doesn't mean a thing. It means something, but it does. But there's still a lot to go. If you're down by a lot with 30% reporting, you're done. So this is what we tell you on every election night. It's really important you understand this context. It depends on where the votes are coming from. And the second thing that matters is the percentage of precincts reporting. Because let's say you get to 50%, if you're down by 10, that means you gotta win the next 50 by 20, okay? And it becomes more and more prohibitive as the night wears on. So for the people that are beating the IDC guys, they're in good shape, especially if you're up by 10. That's a really good solid number. If you're losing by 2, don't sweat it yet.
Yeah, okay. You don't sweat it, but by the same token, you know, it's different for a statewide. That maxim holds statewide much more than it would in a small, tiny state senate or state assembly district, because there isn't as much diversity within the confines of a district as there would be in a state in terms of voting.
That's right. So the percentage might hold more in a smaller area than it would in a more diverse area like the state of New York, where Manhattan and Queens might be very different than Buffalo and Syracuse. Yeah.
Now, just quick mention so that I don't forget, Julia Salazar is up actually by 14 points over Martin Dillon, despite all of those scandals that we were talking about earlier, or attempted scandals. So we also have Alessandra Biaggi going against Jeffrey Klein, had actually been up until a few minutes ago, is currently down by 2 points, 51-49.
Okay,
that is
one of the most important races of the night, and it would be fantastic if Jeff Klein lost. See, these guys think they're so smart and clever. You know, that they're gonna, and by the way, for a long time, they largely had the press on their side, so it was easy to trick people. The press, I have a couple of issues with it. One is, it's largely corporate, and so they don't think like we do. They think, what do you mean, supporting corporations? They're pro-business. That's a plus for them, right? They don't get it that pro-business doesn't mean, is not in a bubble. A lot of times, that is by taking advantage of the consumers and the citizens, et cetera. If they didn't do that, then I'd be pro-business too. So it's a giant, giant difference. Oftentimes they get campaign donations, independent expenditures, and then voila, they give things to our taxpayer money to those businesses. That is what you almost never see, including, by the way, so there's the corporate press, cable news, and all those guys. And then there's places like the New York Times. And I think they have a different problem. The problem with the New York Times is not that they're not genuine, it's not that they're not decent people trying to do the right thing. But they grew up in a bubble where talking about how having more money is a good thing.
But in the reality is, now Andrew Cuomo just spent $8.5 million, like John just told you. You think that's a good thing to have $8.5 million? That means he got $8.5 million in bribes. The corporations don't give to a politician because they're looking to cure cancer. They give it to him because they're looking for a return on investment. And the fact that the New York Times does not report that just like that is a giant failing of the New York Times. Gigantic. I mean, are the reporters of the New York Times so gullible, so ridiculously naive, that they think that all those real estate interests are giving money to Andrew Cuomo, what, for their health? Because they think, hey, you know what? I really am interested in gay rights. No, they're doing it to get favors. And what does Andrew Cuomo give them? He gives them favors in spades. He's done more for the real estate industry and their money against the interest of most of the citizens of New York than you could possibly imagine. So that's, and then this media creates a situation where you'd have the IDC and they would go, oh no, no, we're you should applaud us because we are independent and bipartisan. And the most important thing in the mainstream media is, are you bipartisan? Are you bipartisan? Who cares if you're bipartisan? Are you for the people? What are the policies that you care about? But no, to somebody working, even a good person at the New York Times, their number one thing is, are you civil? And number two is, are you bipartisan? Well, that protects the status quo. So, but now the internet exists. So the IDC is exposed. So 10 years ago, 8 years ago, 6 years ago, right? You don't want to go back too far, then IDC doesn't exist. Let's say 6 years ago, okay? IDC, important, interesting group. And will there be some criticism in the press? Of course. They're not a monolith and they're not bad people and some of them are good reporters. There'll be critiques from time to time. But overall, you tell me this, I'm going to put it in the paper. Now, the internet can't stand the IDC and the word is out. And so it's still a balancing act. The internet is competitive with television and the papers, but has it overtaken everything? And when I say the internet, what do I mean? Do I just mean the entirety of the internet is for progressives? No, but are people younger generation that grew up online more progressive? Yes, but more important than any of that is they could do something simple called Googling it. Okay, they could look things up. Whereas in the old days, TV just jammed it down your throat. Bipartisan is awesome. They still do it. To this day, they do it, right? Whereas now you can go, yeah, that's interesting. You tell me it's awesome. But I read an article from The Intercept or The Guardian, or I watched The Young Turks or wherever, and they told me that their voting record is actually terrible. And so I think the internet has changed the game. We haven't won completely yet. We're not at the end of that process. We're in the middle of that process.
So can I ask you a quick question? So the editorial board for the New York Times called Andrew Cuomo sleazy and the lowest form of politics and then endorsed him. Mm-hmm. So what is that, just pathology, or is that they're good people, but they're just morons, or?
No, it's groupthink. It's groupthink, it's a bubble. I'm telling you right now, the New York Times editorial board, and that's why I say they're not bad people, they're not stupid. They see what Cuomo's doing. There was a ethics board that was investigating the people Cuomo wanted investigated. They then started investigating him. And then he's like, okay, no, it's good. Yeah, I want the ethics board, right? That's investigating me, good, that's wonderful. And they're like, okay, now we found some stuff. He's like, whoa, what do you mean you found stuff? You're disbanded. He just disbanded a group looking into him because they found things. It's Trumpian.
It's very Trumpian.
Yeah, and so the New York Times, they see that. They're not bad people, they're not that gullible. They call that out, they say that's bad, okay? Good, wonderful. And so that's why they call him sleazy. But to the New York Times editorial board, the idea of endorsing Cynthia Nixon is unthinkable. A progressive who doesn't have, in their mind, enough experience. Now, Michael and I had this debate on a previous election night, not a debate, but a discussion. To me, I don't want them having the experience of being a sleazy, corrupt politician. I don't view that as a positive. I view that as a giant, giant negative. I'd take a person off the street over Andrew Cuomo. I would, literally. I would take a person off the street over a guy I know to be corrupt. The devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. No, the devil I know, I already know is a devil. The other guy might turn out to be decent. And Cynthia Nixon has positions that I totally agree with. But the New York Times thinks a progressive, without my beloved establishment credentials. Hell no. And if you told them that, they would be outraged. because they genuinely believe that they are honest actors. I'm not saying they're dishonest actors. I'm just saying
are a little bit, right?
No, I'm not. I'm saying they come from a groupthink,
right.
Bubble mentality, fair, yeah. Right? Where they view the status quo as a given.
Right.
So no matter how sleazy Cuomo is, well, it's a given that we're going to endorse him.
Well, most especially because New York City politics are a lot like Andrew Cuomo and have, it's not an excuse, but for a century, you know, certainly my entire life growing up in New York City was the theater of New York City politics. I mean, Mario Biaggi, the father of Alessandra Biaggi, who we want to see beat Jeff Klein tonight, he almost went to prison and had to resign from the House. He was a Bronx politician, tough, corrupt, beloved, you know, and that was that era of politics. When George Pataki went to Albany, he came not from the city. It was a different kind of politics up there. He wasn't able to get a ton done, but it certainly changed the feel. Then Cuomo goes back up there and he brings the New York City Cuomo machine politics up there, and that's what you have. And it trickled down into the ledge. And all of the things that happened there happened because of that kind of, you know, it's a groupthink politically. You were talking about an editorial board, which is by definition almost a groupthink. And that's what they had there. So the New York Times, you can understand, would be so accustomed to, oh, yeah, this is Andrew, we know what this is. This is like you're talking devil, you know. And that's because it has been so entrenched in New York, and it's so hard to fight with a New York City politician going to Albany. I'm not excusing it. It's just really interesting.
That's why it's great to have this panel, because you're right. That is the correct analysis of that phenomenon that goes on in New York. But it's not just New York. I'll just say this one more thing. I've now covered every single state in this primary season. And same thing in Kansas, same thing in Hawaii, same thing all over the country. Every paper thinks if you're an establishment politician, you are legitimate. If you have raised a lot of money, you are legitimate. If you're an outsider, you are illegitimate. I will not give you free press. I will give an institutional, gigantic advantage to your establishment opponent because of that groupthink. Because they think outsiders, by definition, and most progressives are outsiders, are not legitimate. And that groupthink has cost the progressive movement literally millions, perhaps billions of dollars in free media coverage that the establishment candidates get. And that is unintentional, but really important systemic corruption.
So a few updates I'd like to give, and then we can get back into this. It has been called for Julia Salazar. So despite all of the attempts to take her down, awesome candidate. At the state legislature level, reminiscent in terms of policy and obviously background in some ways to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
So that's a huge win for progressives. Yes. Excellent.
By the way, Alessandria Biaggi is back up again by 2 points.
Excellent on that. Here come the progressives. And look,
it's not a good night to be in the IDC. They're two of the challengers, I think, are not currently beating the former IDC members, but the majority are.
That's excellent. And so, guys, I want you to understand that too. These progressive victories are really stunning because they're against all the odds. They're against the odds in media coverage. They're against the odds in money. They're against the odds in fighting the machine. So you should not don't get too depressed that, hey, Cuomo had a big win against Cynthia Nixon in the big marquee matchup. Taking out the IDC in New York with all those odds against you, right now as we're doing this live, Jumaane Williams doing great in the lieutenant governor race, almost miraculously, so much better than in the governor's race, which is, as Michael explained earlier, a bizarre phenomenon. So these progressive, the growth, and if they turn into victories tonight, and the other victories that we have seen, I wouldn't say they're miraculous. That's too strong. We told you exactly how they were going to happen, if they were going to happen, and that is how it's played out. Now, having said that, they are a sign of incredible strength for the progressive movement. Now, imagine what they could do if the odds were even. Yeah. And I think that they're going to be a lot closer to even in the year 2020. Because once you put all those wins on the board, you've proven out something, and then we have 2 years to work on the rest of the press to go, hey, knucklehead, sometimes you should look at other factors other than who has taken the most amount of corporate money.
So I also want to give an update on the attorney general's race, because we're at 35% right now. Zephyr Teachout is still in second place. She's down by about 19 points. Which obviously doesn't look good, especially with 35% reporting. And I can't say for sure how this is going to turn out, but I've been looking a lot at the county map. And I had said before that we were getting towards a half or two thirds of most of these New York City counties being tapped out, where Letitia James is doing extremely well. Obviously, we don't have access to the map, unfortunately, but various counties are starting to come in upper state New York. And there's only two where Letitia James currently has the lead. And in both of those, she has it by 1 or 2 points over the second place candidate. In all of the other ones that are coming in, either Zephyr Teachout or Sean Patrick Maloney are currently leading. In some cases, with Letitia James being trailing significantly, St. Lawrence County, Zephyr Teachout's at 58%, Letitia James is at 19. So most of what is gonna come in these next two thirds of the vote is going to be from upstate New York. There's still some cities like Albany that we don't have any information on. Looks like Syracuse. It looks like Sean Patrick Maloney is actually leading there. But it's likely that this is going to.
That's where he represents that part of the state. But what about the New York? What about the New York County?
Ulster County. Look how far down Zephyr Teachout's in first, and Letitia James is in third. In Ulster County.
So this is a fascinating example of how we're wrong and we're right. Okay, so I had assumed, like everyone else, speaking of groupthink, that upstate New York would be more conservative. And so Zephyr would not do as well in upstate New York. That's why when the first set of results started coming in, they were coming in from what were supposed to be liberal enclaves like Brooklyn and Queens, and she was losing. I thought, oh boy, we're in a lot of trouble. So,
but you have to know Tish James is from Brooklyn. She was elected citywide. She's a public advocate. New York has never had a public advocate who is anything but maybe the most liberal person in the city. And it's a citywide elected official. So, of course, Tish James is going to do well in the city and in Brooklyn, where she's from, because that's where she represented on city council. You go upstate. And one thing to remember, too, Tish James from the very beginning has said, to even to people who support Zephyr Teachout, I am the most progressive person in this race. Not because she was trying to sort of blow smoke in people's eyes. She really believes that. I mean, she believes she is progressive, not necessarily in every one of the similar ways. So to appeal to New York progressives in New York and Manhattan would have been very difficult for Zephyr Teachout, just because of the fact that she was a known entity there who has sold herself as progressive for a long time.
Yeah, so two things. So you have an update?
It's just incrementally moving up. But I will say that as I've been tracking this over the last 5% or 10%, Letitia James had been up as much as to 51% of the vote and has dropped down like 3 points. And it's looking right now, if Zephyr had been able to get Sean Patrick Maloney out of this race.
Yes.
Yeah, so we don't yet know.
In many of these counties, they're the top two, Letitia James in third.
Well, that presumes that every Sean Patrick Maloney vote would go to Zephyr Teachout.
Which I'm doing.
Okay.
But thanks for keeping me honest.
I think most of them would actually have gone to Tish James.
So two things about what Michael said. One is Letitia James says she's more progressive. I don't believe her. And I'll tell you why I don't believe her. Because she took $1 million from Andrew Cuomo. Andrew Cuomo isn't giving $1 million for his health either.
Was raised with the help of Andrew Cuomo.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, no, Andrew Cuomo didn't write her $1 million check. Thank you, that's an important distinction. Okay, so Andrew Cuomo's not directing that money to the person who's more progressive. Never, not unthinkable, no way. So she might think she's more progressive. Andrew Cuomo clearly thinks she's less progressive.
Well, Andrew Cuomo thinks I don't know that it's progressive, less prosecutorial, which is different than progressive. I think that the activism from Teach Out matters more to Cuomo. I don't think that's a question of progressive in this calculus.
Yeah, no. That's a great point. So, and like I said earlier in the night, it's really important that you keep that distinction in mind between social issues and economic issues. And in this case, there's another decision, which is, are you going to prosecute my corruption?
Right.
So Letitia James might be wonderfully socially liberal. She might even be halfway economically liberal, right? But is she going to prosecute Andrew Cuomo, or isn't she going to prosecute Andrew Cuomo? Andrew Cuomo's got $1 million on she doesn't prosecute Andrew Cuomo.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I mean, I said earlier tonight on another network, I said, and I believe this, that Andrew Cuomo cared more about the attorney general's race than the governor's race. Like, if he lost or won the governor's race, as long as Zephyr Teachout didn't win the attorney general's race.
We've got up to 39% now, and Letitia James has dropped down just a little bit more. The problem is Sean Patrick Maloney is also, he's now above 20%.
We're probably getting into his territory in upstate New York too, which is, that's his, you know, area.
So that brings me to the second point. Let's take a look here though. 18 points now, 18 points separates them. So now look, normally 39% reporting 18% in, 18 point lead, it's over, right? This is not quite normal because there is great diversity in how people are voting across the state of New York, depending on where they're coming from, as John laid out really, really well a couple of minutes ago. So not over yet. So
I would say it's over for Alicia Eve, though. We can call that fourth place.
Yeah. She's got to get out there and do some quick campaigning.
Is there music? Is there something you do for the official fourth place?
Still 17,000 votes,
and she's closing. She's closing. She's
within 18.3 of Sean Patrick Maloney. He's also running for Congress this year, so it's not that big a deal for him, I guess.
So, you're saying Alicia Eve is?
Yeah. No, Sean Patrick Maloney is. He's also still running for his congressional seat. What's happening in the lieutenant governor's race?
So I just want to just.
It's narrowed slightly. He's up by about 3 points. 2 points. My math 1. Is not
1.2 points. Right?
No, 2 points.
2.2
points.
So it has narrowed a bit. Okay. He's been up by as much as 5.
It's over. 42% reporting. Come on. Come on. It's over. Who cares about diversity within the state?
If Kathy Hochul gets every one of Alicia Eve's votes, she's automatically ahead.
Well, it's also, this is an opposite situation where he was doing better in some portions of New York City. And by the way, so I don't want to stress too much how little left there is of New York City. There are still something like 800 precincts in New York City that's not coming.
Which could be bigger than the entirety of the rest of the
state. There's 15,000 total, but it is still a significant chunk.
Yes. So he's holding on to the lead, but that 2-point lead with 58% left to go, don't ring the bell, okay?
No.
So I'll tell you a quick story about that maybe later when I used to work in sales. But to finish up the point earlier about upstate, look, upstate, this is the part we were right about overall in a macro sense. There's the traditional thinking, conventional wisdom is upstate is more conservative, rural areas are more conservative. And our thesis has been, no, they're more populist, not more conservative. And so it appears that a lot of upstate's going to Zephyr Teachout, who is the more populist of the candidates. So that would support that thesis.
Yeah, I would also support the fact that she did a lot of campaigning in Buffalo and Syracuse and Rochester and Utica and places like that, because she knew the how deficient she would be in New York City because of James Power there. So I mean it was effective politicking too up there for her.
Utica.
Yeah, I know.
You ever been to Utica?
I've been to Utica. Yeah.
Me too.
All right.
Yeah, I have not. Utica, not Meetica.
I've never. Utica.
Ustica.
Alessandra Biaggi up by 7 points now. She had previously been down by as much as 2 while I was watching it.
She's the one going up against Jeff Klein.
That's right. That's right.
Granddaughter of Mario Biaggi, ran for mayor of New York, almost went to jail.
Down to 2-point lead for Jumaane Williams, though. Okay. So about 10% closer.
Biaggi, what's their ethnicity? I can't tell.
Mario Biaggi.
I can't put a finger on it.
And by the way, he got
Japanese.
Just to give you a little bit of New York history, the reason he went to the corruption happened was because he did a favor in Congress for New York City Queens Bronze Boss Meade Esposito, and Meade Esposito owned an insurance company, and he, you know, did something in Congress to make it better for Meade Esposito.
There is nothing more New York than Biaggi and Esposito involved in a corruption scandal.
Helping each other out. Yeah. It's really true.
Hey, Biaggi, you want to help a guy out here? Yeah, I'll do you a solid, Esposito, no problem. Yeah.
What kind of name is Meade?
Meade, that's true. That's
what kind of name is Hochul?
Hochul.
Yeah, is there any truth that she lost her first election to a guy named Loogie?
Oh, the Hochul Loogie race? That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yes, it's true.
Come on, I'm working over here.
You are. Yeah. It took a while to get there, but it got there.
Can we get another judge for the stand-up thing?
By the way, everybody, share the stream, okay? On important election nights like this, okay? Sharing is caring, okay?
That sounds filthy.
Share this stream. Yeah. So if you're
and
watching,
get it on tape.
Yeah, if you're watching YouTube, wherever you're watching, hit that share button. Make sure your family and friends are watching too. And you know what? I'm going to pause here for a second. I want to check the thermometer because we haven't checked it in a million years. We're doing a membership drive, tyt.com/join to become a member, so you can get nice like this. If we don't have enough members, you don't get nice like
this. So is the thermometer all new members, or the thermometer is all our members? I haven't seen
all our members, and we started at 27,661 to be exact.
This is just
a big okay. So let's see. Let's see where we are here. Here we go. He's coming. Here
Buffalo is not reporting yet.
Yes, we're waiting for Utica, okay, to come in. Because we decided to refresh because I took so
here
long.
Here we are.
We were trying to get to 31,000. Okay, so obviously let's get to 32,000 by the end of the night.
Get the hell out of here.
Okay, look. I'm a modest guy. Can we see 31,200 by the end of the night? We still got a long way to go. We got a lot of progressives to go. This is the home of progressives. tyt.com/join and become a member. And thank you to all the members that make this possible. I'm going to read your comments in a little bit. More results.
So I have been watching we're only up to 43%, but it's trickling in. And
share the stream. It's trickling in.
It's trickling. The stream is trickling. Please get in on the trickle. Hashtag. Okay, so in those past 2 percentage points, Letitia James has dropped her vote share from 47.1 to 46.6. So the continued trend of as more and more of upstate New York comes in, you see Zephyr Teachout gaining. You also see Sean Patrick Maloney. He's now up to 21.2. He had been at like 18% not too long ago.
So they now
have the majority of the vote between those two.
But what's happening is that Tish James is the beneficiary of the fact that upstate right now, Maloney and Teachout are taking each other's votes basically in each other's districts. And what I just learned was that Sean Patrick Maloney is just barely winning his own House district right now. So Teachout's taking some there, but it makes Tish James a beneficiary up there of those votes.
Yes. On the other hand, the more the upstate comes in, the more her vote's going to be eroded because she's hardly getting any votes up there. It's just the other two that are getting the votes.
So I don't know much about Albany. Maybe you can fill this in. But I'm trying to get an idea.
It's not called Albany. I know Albany. That. We can start right there. But
okay, learn
in Georgia, Albany.
Okay.
It's called Albany, Georgia.
I was getting
really?
This. Yeah, it is.
Now.
Really. It's Albany, Georgia.
So we have three counties sort of. I'm trying to get an idea of each of the cities, by the way. So Rochester and Syracuse, both of those are Sean Patrick Maloney is in first in those areas around Albany.
Right.
We have one of the counties with some results, and Zephyr Teachout has a fairly large lead, not only over Sean Patrick Maloney of 18 points so far with what we've got, but a huge lead of 33 points over Letitia James.
Which county is that?
So this is Rensselaer
County.
Yes, and so if you combine that, Albany, and Schenectady.
Schenectady.
There you go. You're talking about a good chunk of 500 or 600 precincts there. So if that region is more of a Zephyr Teachout one, that's pretty significant.
But what
she's Letitia James dropped another 0.2%, by the way.
A voting precinct, though, in Rensselaer County is going to be different than a voting precinct in Queens County.
What I'm saying. But No. I'm not comparing it to Queens.
Okay.
Am I comparing it to Queens? No. I'm comparing it to other counties around Albany.
Great. I got
so Rensselaer is more rural, correct?
Right.
Yes.
It's Rensselaer.
Rensselaer. Okay, thank you. The important thing is that it's rural. Okay.
Okay. All right. So guys, she's still down by 17, and more and more are coming in, I'd still much rather be Letitia James. Now, having said that, man, this would be one of the most exciting nights in primary coverage history. I don't know that a lot of other people cover primaries other than us. So, right. But
it would be. Let's not underscore the importance of Alessandra Biaggi beating Jeff Klein if that happens.
If that happens, that's a big deal.
It's an enormous story. Even though, Alessandra Biaggi worked for Andrew Cuomo. She, she's not the exact Democrat that's going to be, joining TYT. But the fact that she is turning aside this guy, if that happens, is the biggest story to come out of New York tomorrow.
No, so, absolutely. Well, along with Giuliani, if he wins.
No, I think that's a bigger story, because lieutenant governor at the end of the day is still the lieutenant governor. If something were to happen to Cuomo, then it becomes a bigger story.
It'd be a shame if something would happen to Cuomo.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, we got to
meet Esposito.
Exactly what I was going to say. You got to bring Esposito into that one.
It's Esposito, actually.
No, it's actually Despacito.
Despacito. Okay.
So that's how they do it down in Puerto Rico.
Letitia James now down to 46.1 and continuing to drop. Zephyr Teachout's about to crest 30%, but in the same way that I'm eventually, if she wins, going to want credit for it. With the lieutenant governor's race, it's now a 0.8% lead with Giovanni Williams, and the vast majority of the counties so far in upstate New York are Hochul counties.
Oh, God.
She's from Buffalo. Kathy Hochul's from Buffalo.
So
she represented Buffalo in Congress.
So here,
yes, she has an 80-20 lead over him in Buffalo, of which only 10% is in. So that's about almost 800 precincts left in Erie County alone.
So, guys, there's a scenario here where everyone loses. Okay, so the upstate could be enough to lift Kathy
Hochul
over Giuliani Williams, but not quite enough to lift Zephyr Teachout over Letitia James.
Letitia James now down to 45.9 with Zephyr Teachout finally hitting 30.1%.
All right.
Just do it so you can. Give one. Here comes Zephyr Teachout, just for the hell of it.
All right, there it is. Here comes Zephyr Teachout from behind. She's got a chair. She's got a chair. All right, 16-point lead. What did we start with? It was like 30-something.
It was like 30-something.
Yeah, now it's down to 16. Tick, 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 tick. Tick, 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 tick.
How's Lisha Eve doing? What's she up to?
She's at 2.5%, holding strong, 19,000 votes.
She's
doing better. She was at 2.3.
Zephyr could use those votes right now.
She's on the eve of conceiving. Okay, that took a while to spit out.
Okay. Oh, that is a bunch of John Patrick Maloney.
We're here all night, literally. Look, the reason I say this Zephyr Teachout thing could be one of the most exciting things ever on a primary night is because of the nature of the so-called comeback. For the billionth time, there is no actual comeback. They're just counting the votes at different times. Okay, they all voted already. But it's exciting. And so Michael's right, the Jeff Klein loss, if that gets finalized, would be monumental in New York.
In New York politics.
Yeah, it's huge, huge story, and wonderful for progressives. But in terms of just excitement, I mean, and seeing something you haven't seen, right now I get the number one power ranking for best primary night ever was Michigan in 2016, when Bernie Sanders was.
Wow, when he came back?
Yeah, when he was supposed to lose by 18. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That one was a comeback.
But if you remember that night, and I
was in Michigan that night.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, yeah, that was right here.
So he was supposed to lose by 18, and immediately it was like, not going to lose by 18. And if my recollection is, he was down, like Zephyr Teachout is down. And he just kept adding and adding and adding until Jimmy started screaming at the top of his lungs. And then he won by 2. So right now, I got that number one power ranking for the most exciting primary night, no matter how you slice it. And in whichever side you're on, it was still super exciting.
Yeah. We have exactly 50% of the vote in.
All right, let's take a look.
Precincts in.
Okay, Zephyr Teachout race here, attorney general race, 50% in. Okay. Now, I'm going to make it way less exciting after that giant lead up to that. 50% reporting, guys. She's got to win the rest by 32 points. That's not likely to happen. Scott, that's a fun story, and it's great that it's the upstate's going for her, and the upstate's mainly left. And I wish I could tell you something else, but 15.8% is a lot of ground to cover with just 50% of the vote left. Really, really hard. So, but we'll keep it going. And remember, we got to check in on the IDC guys. And so far, they're mainly losing.
No other calls that I've seen.
Okay. So far, the only race that's been called is Cuomo has defeated Nixon.
And Julia Salazar has been called as well.
All right. And Salazar has won. So one for one so far.
Are you familiar with Simcha Felder?
I mean, I know.
I am. Yeah,
they are. Simcha Felder currently doing, I believe. Simca. Yeah. I believe doing the best out of those.
That's a shame because he's actually one of the worst.
Yeah.
He's right up there with Klein.
He's not there with Klein. Klein is a different level of worst.
Yeah, but Felder's not going to move, and he holds votes hostage like no other.
But he has a built-in constituency that's just not going to go anywhere else.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. So now, look, if we're keeping it real, that one is a little demographic issue. Okay. Yeah. It's okay. We got enough votes. We don't need Felder. Okay, then right. He can go. And by the way, with guys like Felder, if you got enough votes, he'll be on your side anyway.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he has been more transactional in his voting in New York. And I'm not knee deep in it, but I see it enough than I've seen in almost any instance. He's like, all right. And look, and you can make a positive case for it. He's like, what am I going to get for my district? No matter what am I going to get for me? What am I going to get for my district? Okay, you give me something for my district, I vote with you. If you don't, I vote with the other guy. That's what you want, principles. That's my principle. So okay. I mean, that's in a sense old school politics, right? But he often would block progressive votes, so I can't stand him. So I'm just keeping it real on new school politics. So okay, hey guys, you know what? Let's take a little bit of a break here with the 50%. We hit the 50% mark, but. The upstate's going to keep on coming in. Jumaane's race is super close, and we're going to track all the IDC races, see if we've got enough votes to swing the New York legislature. Because if you got the Senate and the Assembly in New York Democratic, we can get a lot of interesting victories. And by the way, one last thing here before the quick break. I had a couple of the state leaders from New York on Rebel headquarters. If they got a majority, they're going to do single payer in New York. So now then they'll put Cuomo to a decision, and it'll be interesting to see what Cuomo does. But that's super exciting. I mean, if Nixon had won, the Democrats control, it's game over. She didn't win. But even so, if they give him a bill, they go, all right, we passed single payer. What are you going to do now?
Well, and here's the question. So Andrew Cuomo obviously doesn't want to have to make that call. That's why you set up something like the IDC or work with them. And do you want to be the governor that shuts down the first likely experiment with single payer at the state level when you're thinking about potentially running for president?
So there's a lot on the line here. We win enough of those seats, and we put Cuomo to a decision.
Yeah.
And that'll be exciting.
Democrats should have. The progressive should have run Zephyr Teachout and not Cynthia Nixon. I'm not saying that she would have won. That she might lose her own race. I know.
She didn't run, though.
She didn't run. I know that. But they should have found a better progressive to run against Andrew Cuomo in this commentator's.
Well, you said that the other night.
Commentator's opinion. That's right. All I'm at.
No, you said that the other night. You were wrong then. You were wrong now. No, I'm kidding.
I'm actually.
No, you were.
It's hard to say I'm wrong now.
No, that was a joke leading up to your. Been empirically proven correct.
Yeah.
Okay, so quick
break. Such a good opportunity.
Yes, we'll be right back.